Well, good morning, love, to sunny Arizona. Man, we're glad that you're here. We are thankful to be able to be indoors when the weather is bad. But let's face it, we like being under that mesquite tree, don't we? And but we're glad that you're here, and we hope that it's going to be a great time of worship for you. We're going to be studying John chapter 10, the story of the Good Shepherd. And kind of as a way of thinking about that, and we have to say today, God lets certain things happen to keep us humble, I guess. We ran into some other difficulties, and everything, there's no projected words up here for you, but everything's printed for you, and hopefully your eyes are a little better than mine, and you can actually see them both as far as you can. So, but in any case, I want to read for you from Ezekiel chapter 34, and this is the back. This is part of the background context for the text we're going to look at a little bit later, okay? In part, there's more to it, but in part of it, the Lord says this in Ezekiel 34, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is going, when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice." Lord Jesus, thank you for this great story in Scripture. We hear echoes of it in the rest of the Bible. We hear echoes of it in this 23rd Psalm. We hear echoes of it in Isaiah. "He shall lead his flock like a shepherd and carry the young lambs in his bosom," it says. And we, of course, hear echoes of it in Jesus as he says, "I am the good shepherd. I'm not the kind of shepherd who takes advantage of the sheep. I'm the shepherd who cares for the sheep." And so today we come to you as your sheep. And we're grateful to know that you will take care of us. Some of us are wounded. We ask you to bring healing to us. Some of us are burdened. We ask you to give us rest. Some of us are discouraged. We ask you to give us encouragement. Some of us are lost. We ask you to help us find our way. Some of us need to realize again just how deeply loved we are by you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Our reading today is from the 8th chapter of John. "Truly, truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by the demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" This is the word of God. I want to share with you three things today about the shepherd in this story. The first thing I want to share with you is the shepherd king and Israel. When we hear the story of shepherds, we have these cute little stories about, well, for example, on Friday night I come here and read and pray for the bulls and get all the sheep together and kids grab onto the sheep, you know. I pray for the bulls. I pray for the bull fighters, I should say. The boys. I pray for the bulls too. But one time I didn't go and the guy got hurt. So I'm feeling like, man, I gotta get there every time. It's important. What I do matters, you know. In any case, they have the part where the kids ride the sheep, and they grab onto the sheep, and these sheep just go scurrying across, and they hang on them, and kids go sailing, and some of them cry, but all the adults laugh. They think it's funny. But these poor sheep have no idea what's going on. So we have these cute stories about sheep and about stupid sheep and all. You've heard all that stuff this morning before. I don't want to talk about that today. I want to talk more about the shepherd. The shepherd, okay? So the shepherd king and Israel. What was in their mind when they hear this story about the true shepherd, they are remembering Ezekiel 34. They're seeing that Jesus is directly attaching himself to the story of God who criticizes the shepherds of Israel and says, "I will come and do what you didn't do." And so what is implicit in this is a direct challenge to these Pharisees. You guys didn't take care of these sheep. You're casting him out of the synagogue. He was blind and someone gave him sight, and you're just treating him as a theological oddity, and you don't even care about the person. You're casting him out. I've come to call my sheep. I've come to do what you refuse to do. So the two things we want to see about the shepherd king and Israel is this. Number one, the Pharisees were false shepherds of Israel. He's basically saying to these people, you didn't do what I was supposed to do. You didn't take care. You actually, and if you know the story of the New Testament, it was always getting on these Pharisees for abusing their people, for giving them burdens to bear, and treating them like scum and trying to be better than them all. Lord, I thank you. I'm not like this guy. You know, he's looking at he's one of his own brothers. Jesus is saying, I'm tired of it. I have come. You are false leaders of shepherds of Israel. And then the second thing is that Jesus is Israel's true shepherd. Jesus is Israel's true shepherd. That's what he's saying to these people immediately on the heels of this story. And in case you're wondering whether I'm jumping in there, I didn't print it for you, but at the end of this section that Richard read for you, after this conversation, many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" A direct reference to the story which had just happened. So this was happening in conversation with Pharisees, saying to them, "I am the shepherd king of Israel. I've come to do what you did not do. I've come to bind up the weak, to strengthen those who are weak, to serve those who are poor. I've come to take care of them. He's come directly into the sheepfold with all the Jewish people, the Israelites, and he's saying to them, okay, come here, sheep. Not all of them are the sheep. The ones who know him, follow him. The first representative here is that blind man who's been kicked out of the synagogue and now is a follower of Jesus. Okay? So the shepherd king and Israel. I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that because I think we often are too quick to take the scripture and bring it directly to the 21st century to where we think, oh, I want to think about the shepherd. We don't realize that when they heard it in this context. You can trust me on that. They knew what Jesus meant. They knew that this was a challenge against those guys. They knew he was stepping directly into the prophetic tradition. They knew Ezekiel 34. They knew what these things meant. It's sad to me, and in fact, this is a slight aside, but I'll bring it up. It's sad to me how woefully ignorant we smart people are to our own biblical heritage. We don't read the Bible. We don't know the Bible. We don't know the stories of the Bible. We don't know the grand story. Oh, if I say to you, how did the game turn out last week? You tell me the San Francisco won, right? But if I say to you, remember in Ezekiel chapter 34, they say, is that the Old Testament or the New Testament? I don't know what it is, right? We need to be students of the scripture. In this time, they knew the Bible. And so when Jesus said stuff, they recognized it. And lest you think, well, we're not Jewish people, it doesn't matter. John was not written to Jewish people. It was written to Gentile people for the most part, not Jewish people. When Gentile people became followers of Jesus, they had to learn that story because the Christian story was the continuation of the Old Testament story. So my challenge to you is this. What special reading challenge are you going to put for yourself during Lent of this year? Lent starts February 15th. Between February 15th and Easter, what Bible reading challenge will you set for yourself? It would be a simple thing for you to read the whole New Testament in that 50 days. A simple thing. You spend more time watching the news. Right? What reading? So think about that. Be a person who knows the scripture. All right, that's my aside now. Back on track. The second thing you want to see, we saw the shepherd king in Israel. The second thing you want to see is the good shepherd and his sheep. And these are beautiful words that Jesus gives to us. Beautiful words, the good shepherd and his sheep. I gave you several different things. The first thing we see about the shepherd loves the sheep. The good shepherd loves the sheep. Verse 3, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep, and he leads them out. I've read from numerous sources that it is true that the sheep know the sound of their shepherd. But what often happened that day, there might be a sheep pen through in the city, the sheep would stay together with other people's sheep in the fold. And the shepherd would come out and give to a sing-song voice, and the sheep would know that voice, and they would know it's time for them to come out, okay? And so they said the shepherd knows the sheep. The shepherd loves the sheep. There's an intimate relationship. We think of sheep dogs nowadays, and they do a lot of work for shepherds. We think of herds as being really rather large. But in that day, first of all, herds were very small. But more importantly, for our purposes, there were no sheep dogs. It was all done by humans. So the shepherds needed to know their sheep. The shepherd knows his sheep. Look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And verse 27, we didn't go that far, but listen to what it says. My sheep hear my voice and know them, and I know them, and they follow me. One of the beautiful things that you need to recognize about Jesus is that Jesus loves you. He knows you. You are not an unfamiliar person to him. You know, if we were to, some of you have had children, remember when you would go to a school play when they're like in kindergarten or first grade or third grade and they have a holiday play? Laura does this every year when she's a music director, right? And you have all those kids up there, and they're doing their things, and these parents are looking up there, and they know their child. There's a special connection that they have. There might be 100 children up there, but they see and connect to that child. That's what Jesus is saying. There's a lot of sheep, but the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows those who are his. Jesus loves you. The second thing about the shepherd, the good shepherd and his sheep, is the shepherd leaves the sheep. He leaves the sheep. The shepherd, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls them by name, and he leaves them out. Verse 4, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. And again in verse 27, we see, they follow me. The shepherd is not far from you. He's close to you. I know how it feels. I know it seems like you're all alone. I know it seems like he's abandoned you, that you're sitting there and you're trying to figure out where to go and you're wondering what you're supposed to do. I know that feeling. Can you relate to that feeling? We all can. Jesus leads us even when we feel he's left us. He's there with us. He's never abandoning us. He leads the sheep. And very often we stand at a place and we don't know which way to go, and we have this feeling that if I go this way and it was the wrong way, then I've lost the shepherd, right? And so I'm saying, help me. And a lot of times, and this is not always the case, but a lot of times it's like he's there with us, and as we step this way, he goes with us that way too. If we go that way, he goes with us that way too. He leads the sheep. He leads the sheep. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd and carry the young lambs in his bosom. The shepherd loves the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep. The shepherd fairly feeds the sheep. Verse 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The shepherd will take care of our needs. The shepherd cares about you and about me. Jesus, you know, in Ezekiel, that passage, I know it took a lot of time to read it, but I just want you to see it. You probably caught the feeling of a shepherd, the father, who just really wanted to be personally involved in taking care of his flock. And Jesus is personally involved in taking care of us. The shepherd loves the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep. The shepherd feeds the sheep. The shepherd protects the sheep. That's the fourth thing. The shepherd protects the sheep, verses 7 to 10. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. The shepherd protects the sheep. He says, people are trying to hurt you, but I will take care of you. I hope that you personalize these words to say to Lord Jesus, my shepherd, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you lead me. Thank you that you feed me. Thank you that you protect me. We do go through the valley of the shadow of death sometimes, as Psalm 23 says. But when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we say with that psalm, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We go through difficult times, but the shepherd has promised to protect us. The next thing about the shepherd is the shepherd gives life to the sheep. Verse 10, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus comes to give us true and meaningful and full life. This is what's so tragic and why the sheep are such an apt illustration for us. Sheep don't know what's good for them. Sheep would not know to go from one field to the next. They would continue to eat things unhealthy for them. They don't know about that. They have very small brains, it's true. They're very dependent. They're just, and some of you, yeah, can tell me stories about sheep. Just, you know, they can follow sheep off the edge of a cliff. If one goes up, they all go. All these stories, you can hear all of them. And they're really true. They're really true. In fact, when I was a pastor in Indiana, a guy told me, you know, he might have been lying to me, because I find this unbelievable, but he used to take care of some sheep. I, you know, he's a country guy, and He says, the sheep are so stupid, he said, and they just don't know where to go. And one time a sheep got off, and I just, he went off on the way, and I yelled at him just so loudly, the sheep immediately had heart failure and died right there on the spot. He said it was true. And he's not the kind of guy to lie, but that's such an unbelievable story to me. Heart failure right there, right, they literally died of fright right in front of him, you know. Well, we are foolish. I don't want to overstate this thing because Jesus loves us. Sheep are foolish, but they are valuable, you know. They're foolish in that they don't know what's good for them. They don't know how to take care of themselves. They follow one another up into destruction. They die of fright. And let's say we do that too. How many of us have fed on things which were not nutritious for us? How many of us have gone back into the same dead place over and over and over again, thinking this day it'll be different? How many of us have maybe walked from one relationship into the next relationship, into the next relationship, always thinking, oh, this will be better, you know? How many of us have thought, I am not going to overspend my credit card, I'm not going to do that, I'm just not going to do it, it wasn't worth it, and then the next thing you know, here's that ad, and it looks pretty good, and you end up spending more than what you can afford. We're just foolish sheep. How many of us have thought when you're 15, you looked at yourself, when you're 10, you thought, I was just a kid, I was pretty immature back then, right? And then when you were 20, you looked at yourself at 15, you thought, oh man, I was so immature back then. I'm glad I'm beyond that stage, right? And then when you're 30, you look at when you're 20. Have you noticed how you do that? We're silly. You know what's gonna happen 10 years from now? You're gonna look back to this time and you say, I was silly, I didn't know. Sheep don't understand, we don't understand how dependent we are on the Father. He loves us, but we're so dependent. And also, so the sheep are foolish, but sheep are also very valuable. They were a very valuable commodity. Every part of the sheep was worth something to the shepherd. You know, the wool was worth something. The skin was worth something. The flesh was worth, they were extremely valuable. And the same is true to you. You are very foolish, but you are very valuable. You're foolish in that you don't realize how much you need your shepherd. That's because we're lost. That's the doctrine of depravity, if you will. It's that thing that says, I don't need God. And I walk right in the same trough, well, at the same edge, I just walked off. We're foolish, but we're also very valuable. God loves us. Feeds us, cares for us, values us, nurtures us, brings us back when we get lost, and carries us on his shoulders and says, look, I found my sheep, my stupid sheep. He's right here. I found him. And they hold a party. Jesus tells that story, doesn't he? In Luke chapter 15, the good shepherd and his sheep. The shepherd protects the sheep. Shepherd gives life to the sheep. He says to us, he says, you know, every time you go there, a bad thing happens when you're done. Come on, let's go. Stay with me. I'll help you. All right, the next thing about the sheep. The shepherd seeks the sheep. The shepherd seeks the sheep. Verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. I will come to bring them in, and they shall hear my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Oh, that's a great thought. But Jesus goes out to find sheep, right? And then the last thing, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 11, he says it three times in this passage. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. No one takes it from me, verse 18, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down. But keep in mind, in verse 17, 18, it says not just that he lays it down, but that he also raises it up again. There's a promise here that Jesus would lay down his life to rescue the sheep. This is where Jesus is talking about the cross, when he will give his life for those sheep. Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. We are so valuable to Jesus. He loves us. He feeds us. He leads us. He protects us. He gives life to us. He seeks us when we're lost. And he lays down his life for us, his sheep. And so let me close by just giving you three thoughts about the sheep and the good shepherd. The sheep and the good shepherd. There are three things found in verse 27, but we found them in 3 and 4 and 14 as well. I'll give them to you very briefly. Number one, the sheep listen to the shepherd. Number two, the sheep follow the shepherd. Number three, the sheep know the shepherd. The sheep listen to the shepherd. The sheep follow the shepherd. The sheep know the shepherd. Verse 3, the sheep hear his voice. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. Listen to the shepherd. Number 2, the sheep follow the shepherd. Verse 4, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. The sheep follow the shepherd, and the sheep know the shepherd. I am the good shepherd, verse 14 says, I know my own, and my own know me. You see, if we worry about whether we're loved or not, we're worrying about the wrong thing. If we worry about how to be led or not, we're worrying about the wrong thing. If we're worried about how to get fed, we're worrying about the wrong thing. If we're worried about our safety, we're worrying about the wrong thing. If we're worried about how we can have a good life, we're worrying about the wrong thing. Jesus, the shepherd, worries about that stuff. That's his job. Our job is simply to listen to the shepherd, to follow the shepherd, to know the shepherd. Because the Christian life is not about rules and regulations and creeds and formulas, things to do. The Christian life is about a relationship between sheep. We foolish sheep and we valuable sheep. Our shepherd takes care of us. And of course he takes care of us at the cost of his own life. There's one more passage in the Old Testament. I could have given many, but I close with this in Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What that means is that our own misdeeds, our own failure, our own sheepliness, Jesus comes and takes that upon himself so he can rescue us from the things which would destroy us. So we celebrate that this morning. We celebrate that ours is not the relationship that a cattle has with ranchers who drive them from behind. But ours is a relationship that a sheep has with shepherds who lead them from the front. Let's have prayer as we close. Father, thank you so very much for this apt imagery of shepherd and sheep. We are simply sheep, and we affirm that. We acknowledge our sheepliness to you. And we're thankful that you love us enough to give your life for us. That though we have gone astray, you, the chief shepherd, have come to take and to rescue us, even at the cost of your life. Thank you, Father. And when we see what you did for us, we know not to worry about the future. We know not to worry about where to go. We know not to worry about those things. We simply want to listen to you, to follow you, and to know you. In Jesus' name.